When I was a kid, I visited Stonehenge on a scientific expedition, and I was just intrigued by the effort that these ancient civilizations put in to just sort of aligning stones, tall sort of vertical stones, with the position of the sun on the horizon. And so that's just been with me ever since I was 14 or 15. And coming back to New York after, you know, a long career in school, becoming educated through the PhD, I just took a stroll through Central Park and just imagined that there might be some spots you could choose where either where you could align building tops or I just started thinking about Manhattan as a sort of a sundial of sorts. And I finally came to the conclusion, as any astronomer would, if you just understand what the sun does in the night sky, and excuse me, in the day sky, that the grid of Manhattan, which is a rectangular grid, would line up with sunset on 2 days of the year. And that would look really cool because the streets are relatively narrow, the buildings are tall, and the avenues are straight, and it goes to a clean horizon. We're talking about Manhattan Island now. Goes to a clean horizon across the Hudson River into New Jersey. And it's just ideally suited for what would be a gorgeous sunset framed by the steel canyons of the city. And so the first time I observed that, so I predicted that, well, it's not a prediction, I knew it would happen, published the dates in 1996. My first published photo of it, which may be the first photo of it ever, appeared in a special issue of Natural History Magazine in 2002. And that's the one you would find on my website.
You took that picture. That's cool.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It was on 34th Street, which in New York City is a relatively wide street, but the buildings that line it are very tall, including the Empire State Building. And so the sun sets, and it sparkles left and right, north and south on the street. And that's an illumination of the sun that's uncommon, because there's always one side of the street that's lit or the other, or neither side, because everything's in shadow. So at the moment of Manhattan, I call Manhattan Henge, all streets, cross streets of Manhattan are lit up by a setting sun. And it's just a striking visual phenomenon. And in the early days, I was the only one sort of blocking traffic, taking pictures of it. But it's caught on. The media has been reporting on it. And in the last several years, there are thousands of people lining the streets doing this. And I see that as we're kind of communing through time with cultures of the past that worshiped the sun and sort of built monuments to it. And so it's Manhattan Henge, the first of this year's Manhattan Henge, is actually Sunday evening. And so you haven't missed it. And It looks like the weather will be clear for New Yorkers or all tourists who are visiting New York. And at about 8:15, we try to get there at 8, but the sunset is at 8:17. And while that's happening, you'll see the sun emerge into view, and then it's almost like the anticipation that you'd get viewing a total solar eclipse, because you see the reflection of the sun. The sun sets at an angle. It doesn't just come straight down to the horizon. So you don't even see the sun until it emerges from behind the buildings on the south side of the street, and you see the reflection from the north side before you see the sun. And so this is great anticipation, and the cameras are humming, and it's a marvelous moment in a city that never usually has an occasion to notice the sky.
And will you be there again for the occasion?
This year I won't be. I'm out of town, but my heart will be there.
Ordinarily, are you there like wearing robes? The high priest of Manhattan.
It's funny because while many people recognize me in the street, not everybody recognizes me. So I was attending one of the Manhattan Henge viewings. A good spot to view it is 42nd Street, another large cross street in Manhattan, two-way cross street. Most cross streets are one-way and narrow. 42nd Street has an overpass far west, far east on between 1st and 2nd Avenue, and then you look west, and the street hits a vanishing point, basically, at the other end of Manhattan. So it's 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th Avenue, the River Jersey. There it is. And so you can stand in the middle of the street without blocking traffic. So I'm there, and the crowds are gathering. And there's an old lady behind me that said, "Move over, Sonny, I can't see." I wanted to get all indignant. I said, "You're only here because of me.
I didn't
know about this thing." But then I pulled back. That was what I felt on the inside. And I said, "Oh, sure, why don't you move ahead?" And I didn't say anything beyond that.
But you probably weren't wearing one of your riverboat gambler vests that I see you in all the time.
Exactly. In fact, I was in very sort of incognito jeans and T-shirt at the time.
That's your dead giveaway vest. I think if you want to be recognized, you have to wear whatever. What is it on that vest I see you wear on TV?
I have now I own like four of these vests. There's one which is sort of moons and stars on it. And then I gave a lecture once, and a woman comes up to me and sort of pats me down. And, you know, at the end of a lecture, people have all kinds of emotions for the universe. And if they touch me at the end, I don't think much of it.
Right.
But a few weeks later in the mail, another vest came in the mail.
Interesting.
And it turns out this woman is a seamstress. And she alerted me that she was getting fatigued of my vest that I had been wearing. It was Mary McCarthy. And so she sent me another vest. And it was, like, so well made, and it was beautiful. And so that was a gift. But I said, well, I can't just – I said, you got more swatches for me to select from? So I bought three more vests from her. And so now the new vests are louder than the ones you maybe have already seen. So I don't know what adjective you'll use for me then, if not riverboat gambler.
Yeah, I think what you need is you need kind of like a watch chain going across it, a big, big one, and then like to hold out like a big, almost sort of like a March Hare kind of clock. Pull that out while you're talking. It's a whole look you've got going. I like it.
I'll keep working on the look. There you go.
Yeah, and then when you're out, you know, for your Manhattan Henge, I think you need priestly stoles on top of you when you're out there.
Merlin hat or something.
Yeah.
By the way, when I first sort of published this, I asked myself, well, clearly any city with a grid would have that a henge for that city.
Right.
And so I told people, go find, see if what works in your city. And the photos that have been coming back to me are quite lame, I must say. Someone sent me, like, Toronto Henge.
Right.
And it's this, like, residential street with, like, private homes and street lamps. And, all the sun is doing is putting a glare in the traffic.
Right, right.
And so,
that's not good.
I would later realize that the conditions that give you a perfect sort of henge are actually rarer than I ever imagined, because not all cities have clean horizons. And even if you have a grid, sometimes the streets then curve at the end of the grid. And so you don't get a perfect sort of vanishing point from your street. Some towns have mountains, like especially in the mountain time zone. There's no town that doesn't have a street that doesn't terminate on a mountain. So the sunset doesn't actually matter to the street. So it may be unique in the world.